Don't you love these times? Anybody sense the Lord's presence besides me? Maybe you're new here and you don't understand it, but you know, you're sensing something. That's the presence of the Lord, because when we worship Him, that attracts His presence, if you will, and His attention. I love it. We could go on and on, couldn't we? I'm just thinking of song after song. Wherever Nate may be, that the worship team, if you can hear me, let's close with that other Tommy Walker song, Thank You for Loving Me, if we could, at the end, unless he has something better. So, you know, when your kids get older, sometimes they overrule you. Have you ever had that? And by the way, worship music and all is a major part of my devotional life. My great friend Andre, that I never met, that I've told you about, his music ministered to me when I was a little kid. I fell in love with his music, and time after time, in tough spots of ministry, just I let that just wash over me. And lately, just to give you a heads up, there's so many good things out there, but Tommy Walker, who we just sang Lord, I Worship You, will sing at the end. He has a new album out called Reawaken, and I highly recommend that there's some songs on there that we'll probably do, but some wonderful, wonderful songs. And I just read up on him a little bit this week. He's been a worship leader at the same church for 30 years in California. I remember him from Promise Keeter, Peeper's event. He led worship, one of my favorite worship leaders of all time. He's written over 200 songs that are listed on CCLI. And so I want to look him up, Tommy Walker, and he's just been as consistent as all get out. But listen to that song, Reawaken. You'll hear some of those tunes hopefully here in the house. Well, happy Father's Day to all who fit in that category. I hope it's a special day for you. Father's Day and Mother's Day are always very tender. I realize that. And we honor that. And sometimes there's a deep sense of loss, or it evokes all kind of memories. But I was talking to a young man, fairly new, married over this week, and with children to come. And I said, just remember, and I say that to all you fathers today, the best thing we can do for our family is to give them our presence. Unfortunately, some of you think it's presents. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your presence with a C. I was out mowing this week, and I was thinking about fathers, and over all my life, even in non-believing families, when there's been a father who is present, as in there, attentive, the outcome of their family is totally different over time. So I just want to encourage you to be present, to be all there. Not the gifts, but the gift of your presence, the gift of you that's so needed. Amen? Out there, you're needed. You're important. No matter what this world says, you matter. You are important. Well, today I'm going to bring my last message of this series. Pastor Andrew is going to wrap it up on 3 John. It's not chapter 1, it's just 3 John. Some of us are mistaken about that. It's just 3 John. There's just a few verses there, and one of my favorite life verses that I'll try not to lop over on him. And then on the weekend of July 4th, I'm going to do a message. I'm calling it Happy Birthday America 250, our spiritual heritage and legacy. That's what I'm going to be talking about on the 5th. So just know that that's coming up, and we're going to, I tell everybody, and if you're new here, I've been saying it for years, I'm a flaming patriot, no apology for it. And we're going to take that day to celebrate and to realize and remember what God has done, His goodness. So today, I'm in chapter 2 of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And I want to start by saying this. I gave you a quote that was attributed to him in the late years of his life. Remember this. When people would come and gather around, when he couldn't preach anymore, he said to them, little children, love one another. And he said that over and over. And that's been the theme of this book. And I hope you're not getting tired of it, because that's life-changing. It's powerful. We have to repeat those important things again and again, just like we do with our children and grands. We repeat it. Finally, one more thing. But he said this to them then, if this alone is done, it is enough. Powerful. And then I also referred to a quote I'd never seen by Abe Lincoln that said something like this, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? And I'm saying this because I want to clarify a couple of things today. Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? I was thinking about that. Then I thought about Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And it says it a lot of different ways in a lot of translations. But in the NIV, it says this. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. And I can honestly say, I think there are people that are not at peace with me today, but I can honestly say I'm at peace with them. There's nothing I wouldn't do for anybody that I know of. But if it's possible, as much as it depends upon you. And I want to hone in on this. And I think sometimes we put this message on the people of the world and we expect them to act godly when they don't even know Jesus. We're not going to get the world until we get it right in the house. Until we love God and love each other with a passion that's life-changing. Until we walk in truth. Until we walk in love. It's that demonstration that's literally supernatural because of all of our differences that points to God and gives him all the glory and all the credit. So I want you to think about that. This message is really for the family of believers. And if you're not in the family because you've never said, I do, yes, then it's for you as well. But I just want to give you a heads up. I hope you know this, that our culture is trying to create a new normal. And they're trying to take God's word and twist it in a way that serves their ends. And they do it by trying to wear us down over time. And they're trying to desensitize us to things that are the truth of God and just wear us down. So don't fall for it. Keep standing. Don't cave in to culture. Don't cave into culture. So let's dive into God's word. So the key is we must hold tightly and hang on to, at the same time, love and truth. Because truth without love is harsh and love without truth is soft. True followers of Jesus, the family, his family, are to be known by walking in both, full time, no compromise. I don't know if we have any hikers in here. Hiking can be fun, I guess, but also dangerous. Any hikers? I see some. I remember, maybe some of you know this place, I don't know what it is now, but I remember going to Nelson's Ledges with our church group when I was in early middle school. Does that still exist as kind of a park or whatever? I had lots of energy, but very little sense in those days. I know it's hard to believe. And of course, I was full of vigor and vitality, and it was fun. But along the way, suddenly it got very steep, severely challenging and scary at times. And some of the path I remember, I'm thinking this, I can't believe my parents let me go on that trip as young as I was and relatively unsupervised. But some of those paths, as we got through the day, proved to be quite narrow and awfully close to sheer drop-offs. Our leader, I was a lay leader, a youth leader, told us repeatedly to stay on the path and stay close to him. Stay on the path and keep your eyes on me. Look at the path and look at me. The first command was about our safety. The other said, you got to be in proximity to me. So the challenge was, again, to keep our eyes on the path and also on our guide. We were not to get ahead and we were not to lag behind, because either one could lead to being isolated, fear-filled, vulnerable to danger. Does anybody see an application coming? Stay on the path. Stay close. This is essentially the simple, powerful message, bold message from our text today. And it's been in 2 John. Walk on the path of truth and stay close to the Father. Never neglect either. I was thinking of the apostle who wrote, Paul who wrote 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said boldly, this is good advice though, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Another translation just says, follow me as I follow Christ. Could you say that to your family and friends? Just a heads up, follow me, but I want to tell you where we're going. We're heading to Jesus. So John, as we've mentioned in this series, is now in the sunset years of his life, and decades have passed since he and his friends hung out with Jesus personally, and over the years, there's probably little that he didn't see. He had seen and he had experienced nearly everything. And now, near to the end of his life, with accumulated a wealth of wisdom of the years, John keeps coming back to these same themes, just like we are in this series. Walk in truth and walk in love and walk in wisdom. And those are the three things I want to talk about for a little while today in the remaining minutes. The big three. So I'll make it present tense active. Walking in truth, walking in love, walking in wisdom. That means all the time. So I would ask you again, are you walking in those today, right now? Not were you, will you, but are you? How many know our spiritual conditions about the present moment? Walking in truth. The path of truth, if you will. Verses 1 through 4. This letter is from John, the elder. I am writing to the chosen lady and to her children, whom I love in the truth. Not a perverted love, in the truth. As does everyone else who knows the truth. Because the truth lives where? In us. And will be with us forever. Because it's in us, with us forever. Verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace. Those are good words, aren't they? Which come from God the Father, only from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. We live in it because it's in us. Can't stress that enough. 4. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. He doesn't suggest it. It's not a good idea. He commands it. And I'm not going to land there, Andrew, because I'll get in your territory for next week. This may seem, you might be going, what? This may seem a bit non-essential with his thrust here and a little tedious, but John opens this, listen, with a purpose, by celebrating specific believers, a dear lady and her children, some of her children who are walking in truth. And then he's also, to me, what I see is that he's emphasized the importance of walking together in truth. How many of you know it's good to walk alone in truth, but it's good to walk together in truth? As it says in Psalm, coming together in harmony, no isolation. We are so much better together. What was true then in his in exhorting the people is true for us now, the family of God. I was thinking of John 8, 31 and 2, those verses then, not in the epistle, but the earlier gospel. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, okay, that's family language, the people who said yes, following him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. 32, and then if you do, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free as you walk in the truth. Sometimes I think we mistake the truth for just something we know, but I'm going to tell you, if it stops there, it's not going to change our lives. It's got to get into the fabric, the DNA, and to the way that we walk every day. So I see in this passage, you must know the truth, you must walk in the truth, and you must live in the truth. Truth we passionately believe, we live. You don't really believe it if you're not willing to live it and put your life down upon it. That's the journey at Worcester Naz we call living transformed, and you're not done until you draw your first breath in heaven. We have quite a few gyms in our town, city, but I often drive by Planet Fitness because they have a big presence in parking lot, and man, after the first of the year, that parking lot area is jammed, and then I see them go to Lurch's Donuts for a snack after they exercise. Some of you. But you know what's interesting? By early February, not so much. Huh. So, you and I, we might know where the gym is, We might even have a membership, and to top it off, we have the right outfit. We look good. And we may even have good intentions about exercise. But how many of you know that won't get it done? And some of us haven't been getting it done for a long time. I'm talking especially some of you former athletes. You know, you must be willing to show up faithfully to gain the benefits of regular exercise. Doctors have told me, if I could just get all my patients exercise regularly, they said the demand for my services would go down. So keep eating sweets. No, he didn't say that. That's what I said. My point is this. Truth, knowledge must become experience. This being obviously true, how much more important is it, this principle in our spiritual lives? We must constantly, have I said this before? We must constantly, continually, nonstop, get God's word in our hearts and mind until it becomes not only knowledge we profess and possess, but it is the truth that we practice. Practice will never make us perfect, but it'll sure make us better. Won't it? John 13:17 speaks to it plainly, boldly. Now that you know these things, that's good. Dive in, go deep. God will bless you for doing them. I put now do them. Let me read it again. Now that you know these things, these truths, God will bless you for doing them, for living this truth out. I love John's idea in this passage, if you note, of walking, because how many of you know the spiritual journey is not a sprint, it's a marathon. I mean, on the mountain, wouldn't it be great if it was just a sprint all in all the time? But it's not that way. Marathons are long and they're grueling, aren't they? There's times of despair and times of exhilaration all on that journey in the marathon. But this well represents the daily grind or the seasons of life, including many things, but like integrity, personal integrity, when nobody's looking or listening. Choosing patience even when you're tired. Praying when you're too busy. Somebody wrote a book years ago, Too Busy Not to Pray. Ooh, extending forgiveness when the hurt is real. And not just in the past, but present. Walking in truth is taking one faithful step after another. And this slowly becomes a pattern, that growth of daily living. Truth is the daily track we travel. I believe in an instant conversion to be saved from our sins and to go a new path. But I want to tell you, we're going to develop from there for a lifetime. Agreed? We're going to keep growing. Trains, as you know, stay on their course and reach their destination as long as they remain on the rails. But we've known in tragedies that in our own state in recent years, when it jumps the track, disaster and destruction often happens. And so it is in our lives. So we stay on course, and as we continually align our lives with God's truth, this is the track of truth that we run on. And it'll never change like shifting shadows. Question, walking in truth. Is my faith something I profess, possess? Is it something I practice? Do those closest to me, those who observe my life, do they know that I'm walking in truth? Because it's what they see. I didn't say perfection. Truth. Walking in truth. It's a decision we make. It's a direction we take. And then he turns to this, walking in love. Not leaving truth behind, but taking truth with you 100%, He turns the corner in verse 5. I am writing to remind you, dear friends, dear children, dear brothers and sisters, that we should love one another. Why? Because Jesus commanded it. God commanded it. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. If we've had it so long, why do we need to keep talking about it? Because probably he's saying it needs to be seen more clearly. Verse 6, love means doing. Do you see that word? Circle it in your mind, the flyleaf of your mind. Love means doing what God commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another just as you have heard from the beginning. Is that pretty clear? I don't see much wiggle room in that. Do you? We're most like Jesus when we love one another, and when we don't, we aren't representing him well. I heard from a series that we sometimes watch something like this. I may have paraphrased, but the pastor said something like this. Grace, mercy, and love are most needed when they are the most difficult to give. I should probably say that again, shouldn't I? Yeah. Grace, mercy, and love, I may have added a few things, are most needed when they are the most difficult to give. But it's not our love we're walking in, it's his love. We get that so mistaken. So we get all revved up, we're gonna try harder, and we're gonna take off like a cartoon character, and we're gonna run out of steam. Our love won't change the world. So as I read this section, John immediately transitioned, taking truth with us, to the transformational power of walking in love. Not in the big grandiose, everybody's watching me, but in the small things, in the daily things. This is about both and, not either or. The Bible doesn't separate truth and love. They're not competitors. They're constant companions that walk hand in hand. Leave one behind and you'll lose altitude. Like an airplane trying to fly with one wing. Doesn't work so well. Yeah. Truth and love are the two things required and necessary for us to thrive spiritually. I've said it a different way. I'll say it three or four ways, but truth without love is legalism, and love without truth is compromise. The command to love one another is nothing new, as the scripture said repeatedly. It goes back to Jesus in John 13, 34, and we've read this verse. I call it the platinum rule, not the golden, but the platinum. So now Jesus speaking, I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. And I just want to ask you, by the way, how does he love you? The first word that jumps into my mind would be unconditionally. I wonder if we should pass that on. You think so? The problem is some of you have never accepted the fact that he loves you unconditionally because you have conditions on yourself, but he loves you unconditionally, and he's calling you to a higher level and a higher plane. Will you let him love you unconditionally? Yeah. It doesn't do any good if you don't receive it. Right. It's not about us earning it or deserving it. It's about who he is. That's the mystery of all this. We can't do this walking in love, but his powerful love and truth in us and through us can change the world, beginning with the family. That's what makes our worship real. This command that I've just read is old, but it's not outdated, and it's real, and it's as relevant as it's ever been. And I go back to what my mother said. I blame her for this. She often would say this, don't tell me you love me unless you're willing to show me by obeying me. That's really what the gospel, she was summarizing John right here, whether she knew it or not. God's love in us is to be continually demonstrated in real life, in real time. And yes, that means in situations you're in right now, real conflict, real transition, real change, now's the time. It is expressed and practiced, or practiced and expressed as a lifestyle in ordinary days. So I want you to get it straight. I've said it, but I'll say it again. We're not talking about the power of our love. We're talking about God's truth and God's love in us and through us. Do you understand the difference? He is the one who empowers it. I have often read it at probably at most weddings I do, but last night Pastor Joel at a wedding, he read this passage from a different paraphrase, but or from a translation. But I love Eugene Peterson's. I call it a pastor's paraphrase. So let me read. This is a description about God's love that's in us, okay? Not your love and mine, but his in us. Love, so thank God, love, never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, what about me, what about me? Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes place in the flowering of truth. I love that line, I underlined it. Puts up with anything, always trusts, constantly looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And he concludes, so in light of God's love, trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, because his love never runs out. There's more where that came from. And the best of these is extravagant love. Man, what had happened? Revival happens when we let his love flow to us and through us. Genuine love always tells the truth, the flowering of truth, as I just mentioned. Love and truth are inseparable. A doctor can't hide a diagnosis. A parent must not ignore danger. A friend doesn't refuse a caution and confronting of a friend, true friend. Genuine love and truth is like a lifeguard that shouts and warns and attempts a rescue. That's what it's like. Love always tells the truth because eternal destinies are at stake. Lives are at stake. So I want to ask you, who needs God's love that we're going to sing about in a little bit, expressed through you right now, this week, today, on this special day? John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Listen to me, please. Your love for one another will prove to the world. This is family language. I open with thoughts about our culture, and here's what the culture is trying to do to us. It's trying to get us to compromise on truth. There are some things that are biblical truth that we can't wobble on. We can't go south on. We've got to stand strong. We don't accept things that are not true to be true. You understand? We stand on God's truth. But that doesn't mean we accept and we approve things that go against God's word directly. Do you understand that? That's what our culture wants us to do. Oh, love, 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 love. Well, where's the truth? It's anemic, won't change lives. We believe in a God who transforms lives when they fall in love with him. And our challenge is to help people meet Jesus and fall in love with him. But we're not gonna back away from biblical truth and standards. Well, finally, he says walk in wisdom, and that's really walking in the truth that you know and the love that you know. And I'm not even going to take time to read it all, but John, 2 John 7-11, I think maybe Pastor Schill maybe touched on some of those verses. I'm not even sure, but the same theme. But he warns that there's many deceivers who have gone out in this world. And that's what we are confronted with in our culture. There are so many deceivers out there that are trying to twist truth. And we got to be careful. Listen, hear me. And he refers to those who deny the genuineness of the reality of Jesus as antichrist. That's what they're referred to. And he says, take action. Don't be guilty by association. Don't be an accomplice to false teaching. Walk in wisdom. Because there's a goal out there to attack, to deny, to attack and destroy the truth about Jesus. Who he is. That was the issue in the early church era. The identity of Jesus was at stake. We must know who Jesus is. And if we don't get this right, everything begins to wobble and it'll head south very, very quickly. We love It's a Wonderful Life at our house at Christmas time. Jimmy Stewart, anybody ever seen the movie? Do you remember the scene where Jimmy Stewart is in George Bailey's, you're young, and he's working for this druggist, Mr. Gower, I believe it's called, and mistakenly filled a prescription the druggist did with poison pills and sent the delivery boy, George Bailey, off to deliver to his customer, and something didn't look right to him. He saw the label, but he knew something was wrong, and sure enough, the contents was poison. Now, fortunately, George caught the error and he brought it back to the druggist's attention, and he wasn't too thrilled about it, but then was broken, realized that he could have taken a life if that would have been, that poison would have been received. I mean, it looked good. It had the right label, but it was deadly. A small error increases with distance and can lead to devastating consequences, and this principle is especially true when dealing with false teaching. Listen, not all spiritual messages lead to life, no matter how smooth they are. Not every preacher, teacher speaks the truth, and not all trendy religious ideas come from God. That's why you need to be grounded in a life-giving church somewhere where you are, where you know and are known. It doesn't have to be this one. It is one, but there are others. Believers must walk in wisdom and discernment. John says to watch ourselves in that scripture that I just referred to. We are so much better noticing other people's errors and realizing our own sometimes. We've got to be grounded in the truth, and I come at this with both fists. I've used the illustration time and again that experts in the field of counterfeit money sharpen their skills by studying real currency. The more familiar they are with a genuine article, the easier it becomes to spot the fake. Do you know where I'm going with that? The truth is in you. Our best defense against deception isn't to worry and fret, to be like Rabbit on the Winnie the Pooh. No, it's to deeply be familiar with the truth. We must know Jesus, know the scripture, get it in us. For good is in positive, for good is in permanent. Get God's word in you. Know the unchanging gospel of Christ. We are to walk in that wisdom, that truth, and that love, and that's what brings discernment. But I want to say again for emphasis, Christian love does not require that we turn a blind or naive eye to the teaching that opposed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, be gracious, but don't be gullible. Yes, be kind without compromising. Be loving without diluting and abandoning the truth. I'll say it again. Don't cave into culture. And many of us are sure we haven't caved. We are being desensitized by it. Don't go there. Stand in truth. Walk in truth. So John's message is summarized in this passage. Keep walking in the truth. Keep walking in love. Keep walking in wisdom. Truth alone can be hard and cold. Love alone can lead to weakness and compromise. Wisdom alone, discernment alone, can lead to harshness, suspicion, and judgment. But truth, when truth and love kiss, if you will, the beauty of Jesus becomes visible. It's attractive. It's contagious. That's what a watching world needs to see. I close with this, a story of a lighthouse. A keeper was assigned there and charged with maintaining that light that guided ships safely into that harbor. And each month he would receive a designated amount of oil, a fuel for that light to run. And wouldn't you know that after he was in that position, he was a community guy and really cared, and people came and pounded on the door. And, oh, I have a need. I need a little oil. And he was so compassionate. He wanted to help. So little by little, he gave that oil away. Before the end of the month, the lighthouse went dark for a lack of fuel, and in the darkness of night, ships crashed into the rocks. When the investigation was met with the lightkeeper's excuses for giving his oil away, this verdict was rendered: you were trusted and given oil for one purpose, to keep the light burning. You're dismissed. We have been entrusted with the gospel, the light. The truth of the gospel, full truth and full love, never compromised. I'll say it finally in a different way. Truth without love is a blinding light. Love without truth is a slowly fading light, diminishing light. but truth and love together. Become a lighthouse to point people to Jesus for salvation and light. The light is to guide people safely all the way from here to heaven. Amen. Philippians 4:9. I love those verses, 4 through 9, but just this verse 9. After he gives this exhortation, he says, keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Do you understand that practice part? Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Not only will he be with you, he will be in you. So I would ask as we close with a song, are you in the family of God? That's only a relational possibility if you say yes and invite him in. Are you walking in truth, love, and wisdom?